On the night his mother disappeared, the boy had tiptoed to her room to ask for a glass of water. The moon shone through the windows, casting a glowing walkway across the floor. The air was fragrant with blossoming orange trees. He would tell her that he couldn't sleep, that lately his dreams had been strange. Had hers been too? It was an uncertain time. The Turks had been coming without warning. They galloped through the village, taking whatever they wanted. Livestock, clothing, jewelry, young men for their army. In his dreams, they rode dragons instead of horses. He nudged her bedroom door open. Father was not yet home. He was drinking araq and playing backgammon next door at Ammi Hanna's. Mother stood in the center of the bedroom in her nightgown. Her hair was down, long tangles of black. In her arms, she cradled a jug, the one she'd found yesterday while exploring the mountain caves. Over the years, she'd come home with other treasures: a metal spear, the jawbone of a lion, a clay seal, glass beads. Truly, though, she told her son, the most precious thing she found was a bit of solitude. "Mother?" he whispered. Was she asleep with her eyes open? Behind her, the moonlight glistened on a spider web, a hexagon of silken threads. "Shu sar? Shu am bisir?" What happened? What is happening? She tilted her head, as if she'd heard something beyond his voice. Perhaps it was an animal. Wolves sometimes stalked the village at night. He, too, listened so intently that, for a moment, he thought he could hear the spider plucking its legs along the web, perfecting its trap. He noticed she held something, small and round, between her fingers. "What do you have, Immi?" he asked. And then he saw something strange spreading before his mother's bare feet. A dark pool, black smoke bubbling up from its center. Fire! He tried to scream, but he could hardly breathe. Instead, he stumbled backward, bumping into the half-open door, his heart pounding against his ribs. Why was there no burning odor, no heat from the smoke? The air was cold. "Get back, mother," he managed to whisper desperately, shivering. But she seemed oddly calm, trance-like, as she stood near the cusp of the widening pool, which began to swirl like a pot of soup stirred by an unseen ladle. The boy knew he should cry for help or pull her back, but now he himself was unable to turn away, unable to move. What was it? What was in there? What was at the bottom? Long fingers, tendrils of smoke, beckoned him forward with a shushing noise like a mother soothing a child. Mesmerized, horrified, he stepped closer. Something was materializing and rising up out of the churning pool. Someone. A man.
"Give it to me,"
the man hissed, shadowed in smoke. His face was hidden by a beard, his cloak trimmed with fur. He spoke in a foreign tongue, with ancient words, but the boy understood. It was the language of his long-lost ancestors. It was in his blood. But give what? Perhaps he wanted the jug? The man glanced at the boy before grabbing his mother by the wrist. Her face collapsed into an expression of pain. The jug fell with a thud. "Let her go," the boy begged, frozen.
"Mine,"
the man said. "She is not yours." His mother's eyes snapped into focus. She finally looked at her son, finally saw him standing there, and her face dimmed with terror.